Welcome to the Hometown Bluegrass Show weekly podcast presented by Allen Music Shop. Co-hosts Tim Batts and 20-time Bluegrass Guitar Player of the Year Josh Williams will talk about the latest bluegrass news, interview folks in the industry, and give you lighthearted stories and music tips along the way. Now, here's Tim and Josh.
Hey, everybody, here is Tim and Josh from the Hometown Bluegrass Show.
We are here. Thank you.
We are here, and we're actually plus one tonight. It's Tim and Josh.
And Weldon, I'm back.
With the self-introduction.
Yeah.
That's right. Weldon Crow is in the house. Weldon Williams is in the house. Josh is 13-year-old son.
Just for a few more days.
Yeah.
Well, a couple weeks, that's it.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
When's your birthday? December.
I will turn 14th on December 14th.
Well, look at you.
Yep. 14th so, on the 14th.
That's right.
14th so birthday.
We got a special episode again for you. We got Weldon in the house. We're trying to teach him podcasting so he can make his daddy rich one day. So become like Joe Rogan Jr. or something. So, but anyway, we're excited to be here. This is the 43rd episode of the Hometown Bluegrass Show.
Are you sure?
What episode is this, Josh?
This is...
Yes. Don't doubt the man that actually
40...
edits all these...
Fifth.
Wrong. This is episode 43, and boy, we had a fun one last week. Andrea Roberts, that was a hoot.
Yeah, that was okay.
Yeah, whatever. You love her and don't lie.
I do love her. I love her very much. She's like a sister to me.
I know it.
That I didn't want.
It was a good segue because it was good to see her this past weekend in Prestonsburg, Kentucky.
It was.
At the Max. So that's
it
where.
It was very cool.
That's where we were for the big fundraiser for the Hurricane Helene victims that was put on by so many people. But the main band, Southern Legacy, was there. But there was lots of people that was involved in that. And
There was quite a few folks involved. Yeah. And they all did a fantastic job.
Yeah, sure did.
I know probably the people that worked the hardest on it would have been, as far as from our group of folks, would have been Don, of course, Don Rigsby. He's the one that that kind of, it was his brainchild, you know, and he found us the venue there at the Mountain Arts Center.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Mike and Teresa, they always just go above and beyond.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, it was so good. I have texted and talked and Facebooked with them, but it's the first time I got to hang out with them for a whole day. And man, this is hardly two finer people right there.
Oh, I'm telling you.
I mean, it was so good to meet them in person, hang out with them, and see how hard they work and just see how nice they were and just kind of see their hearts in action, you know.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I've always loved Mike because I've known him, you know, forever.
Yeah.
And I actually didn't meet Teresa until we started, you know, this thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, just from day one, she was 100%, you know,
she's
behind her man and
yeah.
behind her band. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, she does more for us than we deserve, and she's just an amazing person.
Yeah.
So, Teresa Anglin, you are just absolutely phenomenal. Thank you for everything that you do.
Absolutely. She's a passionate lady, and I love her heart, and she's just so sweet, and so glad to get to help out in some way. It was a long drive out there for you and I, anyway.
It is.
And,
it's a hike.
It's a hike out there, about 400 miles from here in Ballard County.
Who would have thought that the state of Kentucky was
that long? I know it.
You know, so you can get from Tennessee to Illinois in what?
Yeah.
40 minutes, 50 minutes,
yep.
Maybe?
Yeah.
But, yeah, when you get over a little farther eastern in the state, you know, where it gets kind of high up there at the highest point underneath Indiana and Ohio and, you know, way over there and all the way down to Tennessee in that area, down to the Cumberland Gap, it gets pretty pretty long, you know, or pretty tall, I guess you could say. But
yeah,
the length of the state, you could drive throughout the whole entire daylight just about.
Yeah, I know, no doubt.
That's what it felt like anyway.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I about did, but I went by myself, and so and I guess as you did too. But it's,
you know,
like,
we should have ridden together.
I know.
But
I didn't think about it until I got there.
Well,
I didn't know when you were going actually, but
I couldn't leave until after work. That was the problem.
Right, and you got there at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes. Yeah,
and I got to go to bed earlier.
I didn't have a choice, so I actually didn't get gone away from Benton until about 7 o'clock.
Oh yeah, I was. Already watching Dateline, laying in the bed at the
was
hotel
really?
By then.
So if you left Benton at like 7, what time did you actually get there?
I got there at 1:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep, that's about right. Yep. It took me 6 hours to get there, but it was such a beautiful drive. I mean, I've driven from Western to Eastern Kentucky before, but it's just such a fun time when you're by yourself. You know, I was just listening to podcasts and music, and but our state is so diverse from where we live. You know, it's kind of river country, and all the way to the mountains of Appalachia. It's like it's just really Kentucky's cool state. I mean,
it really is. And I tell you what makes it harder to travel in Kentucky is the fact that we do have the time zone line runs right through.
That messes with me, man. Eastern time zones is dumb to me.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody should just be on central time. It's God's time. He's the center of the universe. Everybody should just be on our time, central time.
Well said, sir.
That's always been my philosophy. But, yeah, I get out there, and I'm like, oh, I messed up.
Well, when you get out there on the mountain parkway, that's a whole other ball game.
Yeah.
And for us driving out there, that's the latter part of the trip. And that's when it starts getting dark and you start getting tired from all the driving. And
the last 2 hours on the mountain parkway, and there was snow when I drove through, and I know you too. And I mean, it was spit rain and snow and all that. But anyway, but great venue. Oh my gosh, first time I'd ever been at the Mountain Arts Center. What a beautiful facility.
Oh, it is. It's an amazing place.
And everybody there was so nice, and all the people that helped with the sound and everything. And it was so cool just to be there all day and hang out with all the artists. And it was just like this big family reunion. You know, it was cool to watch, you know, you guys that have been playing together for years, just kind of catch up on things. And, of course, you know, I just sit and listen. I took pictures and video mostly, so I kind of lurked in the shadows. But, you know, Kyle Cantrell was the MC, and it was neat to be in the green room just listening, hanging on to all the words that, well, Larry Cordell says. I just, can almost fangirl over Cord. Eli Johnson with Authentic Unlimited was, he was like, I walked in, he goes, that's Cord. You know? I was like, I know. But I was listening to a funny story. You may have heard this story, probably have, but Kyle and Larry were talking just around the table eating chili and soup beans. And Kyle was telling the story about when Bill Monroe met Frank Sinatra. And and he said he didn't know he didn't know who he was, and he said he
probably did. He just I don't know who
it was funny, but he said this is Frank Sinatra, and he goes, oh, I can't talk like that.
He said, well, Mr. Monroe, I'm a big fan. I've always loved your music. He said, well, thank you. And what do you do?
Yeah.
What is it you do?
What is it you do for a living? I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, that's Bill.
Yeah. So,
and maybe he genuinely didn't know who he was, but
Frank Sinatra probably didn't make it to Rosine a whole lot. But.
I bet he didn't. I bet he didn't. So that was probably the one and only time he ever gushed over Bill. So Bill didn't know.
Yeah. But anyway, there's so many stories, and so good to hear all of that. And man, what some great music. I mean, the music was just, some of it was spontaneous, some of it, you know, we had like we talked about, Andrea Roberts came. Well, she happened to bring her daughter, Jay Lee, and of course, she's the reigning IBMA female vocalist. They pulled her up on stage, spur of the moment, and Ron Block played guitar, and she sang a song, and Tim Surratt sang, and, of course, you guys, Southern Legacy and Authentic Unlimited, and Larry Cordell, and, I mean, it was just so many great musicians and singers, and great night. And the best part about it, tell them how much money was raised.
We raised over $11,000.
Wow.
I mean, that is unheard of and so good. You got to give them applause. Yes. There.
Thank you. Yeah. So, thank you.
So that was.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, please. Please. Well, thank you. No. A little bit of red knuckles in the trailblazer humor for you bluegrass fans out there.
$11,000 is cool, and that all goes to Samaritan's Purse.
Samaritan's Purse, yes.
For the Hurricane Helene relief. So
yes,
really cool, man. It was a great night, full day of great music, and just a fun time. So thanks for all that came.
It was, yeah. It was a great bunch of folks was there. Thank you very much to everybody that participated. Authentic Unlimited, you guys did an amazing show. They were a man down, too. You know?
Jerry had pneumonia, so yeah. Old Mike had to fill in.
Yeah, Mike.
Mike played with everybody.
He did. Mike played the whole night.
Yeah,
with
he did. After the show was over, we walked in the green room, and like he was like tongue hanging out. I said, Mikey, I think you played with everybody tonight. You should get paid double tonight. He said, I'm just ready to go lay down.
Yeah. Well, he did get paid double. So he got paid double. So two times zero is
still zero.
Yeah, but so. I mean, we did. We even paid him three times. But you know what? And that was what the best part about that was that everybody that was there donated time.
Mm-hmm.
So none of us got paid. You know, that wasn't the point. The point of it was to make sure that they got everything that we raised, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
And we even brought a family up from when Tim Surratt came up. He came up on a bus, thanks to Tim Dillman over at All Access Coaches. Went down and picked Tim up, but Tim had a family. I believe their name were Whites. Is that right?
I can't remember the family name.
Let me call that up. But they lost everything. Mm-hmm. They lost everything, all of their clothes, their home, you know, everything, man. I can't imagine what that's like.
Yeah.
You know, and we see that stuff on the TV, on the news, whatever, for like what, a week?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's gone.
Yeah.
But that stuff doesn't come back in a week when, you know, when everybody stops talking about it. Yeah. So, I mean, it's very difficult to imagine what that's actually like, and I can't do it, and I'm so thankful to be able to say that, but my heart goes out to those folks because they were so nice and so sweet and so happy to be there, you know, we wanted to treat them like royalty, and we did. We picked them up in a first class you know, entertainer's coach,
mm-hmm.
and brought them up, and you know, they got to hang out on the bus and
mm-hmm.
you know, be stars, and,
yeah.
and that's what all that was about, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome for Tim Dillman to offer that and send that out there to have them brought in like that. Made them feel like royalty, hopefully. So
maybe
kind of took their mind off of things for at least a few hours anyway, and that's what we were hoping. So
yeah, definitely.
So great night. Great night.
Jerry, we hope that you get to feeling better, buddy. He was home with pneumonia.
Oh.
Bless his heart. So he didn't get to be at the show with Authentic Unlimited, but we hope you get to feeling better soon, my friend. And but you were greatly missed, just so you know.
Yep.
But those guys did an amazing show, as always. They're just great bunch of guys. Really love getting to hang out with them, and I just thought it was just the cutest little thing to see old Jesse Brock up there driving that big Sprinter, pulling the trailer, and while he was driving, Eli was kind of helping him, you know, telling him where to park or whatever, and I looked at Eli and I said, hey man, how many phone books is he sitting on?
Oh man, he's a short dude.
He's a little fella, man. He
slap that man around.
Oh my gosh, he's so good. Yeah. Yes, so good.
And I love how they entertain not only vocally, but you know, they're always moving around and playing off each other. And it's,
definitely.
I like that.
I really enjoyed getting to hang out with John Metter. He's one of the, you know, I've hung out with Stephen Burwell a bunch of times because you know those guys traveled with Doyle. So while I was still with Rhonda, I saw them regularly.
Oh yeah.
And, of course, Kevin, their sound guy, Kevin McKinnon, couldn't be there either. So they had the great Scotty Boland with them filling in. And so great to see Scotty. Thank you for coming, Scotty. It was mm-hmm. really great to see you, my friend. And
he's a big six-hour gun fanatic like I am. So
and
I had lots to talk about.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. He's a great dude, man.
Yeah,
and just
he is.
A
I like
brilliant
him.
Sound guy.
Yeah.
But, of course, Kevin, you know, is also brilliant. And hate that he couldn't be there with us. But I also want to say, while I'm thinking of it, a special thank you to Ernie Evans.
Yes.
He sent a big voucher that was basically $1,000 toward any festival you want to go to. So mm-hmm. If you won that, and I don't know who it was that won that stuff, congratulations to you. I didn't get to hear the names or whatever. I wish I did now that we're talking about it. But, you know, you could... Basically, the thing was, hey, if you go to festivals by yourself, here's $1,000 worth of festivals to go to with, you know, for Evans mm-hmm. Media Source. Or if you wanted to take your family to one or two or whatever, you know, however, I don't know how much the ticket sales are these days, but, you know, that was just above and beyond. You know, Ernie's just such a good dude.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've got his contact info now, so we're going to have him on pretty soon. So
good, good, good.
Yeah. Teresa got me hooked up with Ernie, so we're going to hopefully talk to him soon, and maybe he's slowing down a little bit as festival season has wound down a little bit, and we can pin him down long enough to kind of help promote all that he's got coming up for 2025, because I'm sure it's a lot.
Yeah, we got Jekyll Island, Georgia coming up.
That's right, January.
That's
early January.
It's the New Year's festival. Eve,
yeah, that's right. Well, that's cool.
So yeah, he'll be busy soon. So we need to try to get him on in the next couple weeks.
Yeah,
if
that's true. We'll definitely do that for sure. So. Well, cool. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Josh had a request from our Facebook page on the Hometown Bluegrass Show from a faithful listener. So he's going to play that song and teach us how to play that and talk about that song. And we will love to hear from you on our Hometown Bluegrass Show Facebook page. If you have a request or just anything you'd like to hear us talk about or not talk about or whatever, we'd love to hear from
you. I don't know where I got the White's name from, so let me clarify that before we go on. I messed up on that. It wasn't White's. Yeah, there was Brooke and Dustin Taylor were the ones that were there with us, and I think their parents maybe. It was one of their parents. They have two kids, and they have the grandmother lives with them as well. But anyway. And two dogs, and they lost everything. But they were just such a super, super sweet bunch of people. And another special thank you before we move on to our very favorite people, some of my very favorite people, the L81 Company. So, we thank you very much. We were sponsored. The night was sponsored by L8, and or L81, as they're now referred to. And really appreciate them. That happens to be my favorite drink. And Weldon's grown pretty keen on it too.
Yeah,
and
absolutely. It's the best drink in the world. How can you not like it?
Well, there was cases of
L8 in the green room at the fest at the Mac, and so yeah, I ran out of my Diet Mountain Dew, so I ended up drinking a lot of L8 and over the day. So it was pretty good.
We just happened to have some L8 with our supper tonight, and my daughter made her daddy more proud than she will ever realize.
Oh, Lord.
When we sat down and we were eating, and my mother was there, you know, with us, and she said, Whitley, do you want something to drink, sweetheart? And she said, can I have an L8? And I said, that's my girl.
Bless her, Lord. Oh, thanks, L8, and all our sponsors. And
yes,
we're
going to
hear from just a few of those right now, and we'll be right back.
That's right.
Allen Music, located in historic downtown Paducah, Kentucky, is your source for fine guitars and all types of acoustic instruments. At Allen Music, we are experienced and enthusiastic players of everything we offer. Allen Music is family-owned and has been serving musicians since 1976. So stop by and thank them for supporting bluegrass music. Allen Music, 215 Kentucky Avenue, downtown Paducah, or check them out online at allenmusicshop.com.
Custom Automotive in Calvert City, Kentucky has been a family-operated business for over 50 years. When you call Custom Automotive, you'll talk to an experienced tire and wheel expert. They install wheels and tires on thousands of vehicles every year in addition to their online sales. Stop by and thank them for supporting bluegrass music. Custom Automotive, Highway 62, Calvert City, Kentucky, 270-395-7611. Or visit them online at customautoonline.com.
The Lake House Inn at Sled Creek has undergone complete renovation in 2023. Our outdoor space is unlike any other at Kentucky Lake. With two in-ground pools, 18 rooms, and four cabins, we're just a stone's throw away from Kentucky Dam. If you're looking to make memories with your family, this nostalgic inn is for you. Welcome to your lake house, where modern meets rustic and becomes home. Reserve online at lakehouseinn.com.
Howdy, friends. I'm Banjo Ben Clark, and you're listening to my good buddies, Tim Batts and Josh Williams, on the Hometown Bluegrass Show. You've tuned in because you like valuable conversation about the world's best music. And if you want more good stuff like that, come on over to my website, banjobenclark.com, where you can learn how to play and purchase anything you might need when it comes to bluegrass-related instruments and accessories. My Gold Pick members over there can access hundreds of lessons for banjo, guitar, and mandolin with all kinds of resources to help you move on down the road with your picking skills. And if you're looking to purchase something, the deals can't be beat at Banjo Ben's General Store. All there on the same website, BanjoBenClark.com. Now back to the show.
Thank you, Banjo Ben, and please check out Banjo Ben Clark's website and go to his general store, BanjoBen.com, and they have lots of cool merchandise there, not just banjo-related stuff, all kinds of great merchandise from actual instruments to accessories, and you can use the promo code HOMETOWN10 and save 10% off any order from BanjoBen.com general store.
That's right.
They even have the ball cap that Tim is currently wearing right now.
That's right. Yeah, I got
Tim,
on my Banjo Ben hat.
You?
That's right. Yeah, so I had to go on there and buy me some Banjo Ben merchandise, and this has become my favorite hat. I wore it all weekend, and I like it. So you'll have to go check that out for sure. So thanks to all of our sponsors and all that they do for us and bluegrass music.
I have to be honest with you about something, Tim.
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
I need to
get the censor button ready.
No. No foul language here. Okay. No foul language here. But I did catch some heck over some T-shirts. Hometown Bluegrass Show podcast T-shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you played heck, you got heck over because of what?
I did. Corey and Danielle Compton had some, they really, really wanted a T-shirt.
Oh.
And especially when they saw yours, they knew that they wanted to get one, and you didn't have any.
Well, let me tell you the story about that. That's one of one. I have a dear friend that works for a promotional company here in La Center, Kentucky, where I live. And I thought about it like on Wednesday before I was going to head to Eastern Kentucky on Friday. And I texted her and I said, would you please make me a shirt? And if I send you a logo, I just need one shirt. The only catch is I need it before Friday morning. And she, after a few, cuss words, she luckily is a dear friend, and she got it done for me. And she made one shirt for me. And I got to wear that. So I'm glad I wore it because I had so many people come up to me and go, Tim, man, I love your podcast. And like three or four different guys did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, I finally asked one guy named Price. I said, how do you know me? Did you recognize me from Facebook? He goes, no, you got on a Hometown Bluegrass shirt. I went, oh, yeah, I forgot I had it on all day.
Well, that was one of the first things that I noticed, too. I love it, man. Yeah. We need to get some of those made up.
I know.
Yeah, I want one now.
All it takes is money, so we got to figure that out.
Yeah, well, there is that.
Do we have a T-shirt sponsor out there that would like to help us out with some shirts and swag?
Yeah, we do. We need some T-shirt folks as sponsors.
We do, and I'd love to have some shirts, and I've been thinking about it and wanting them, but I just hadn't done it yet, but we will work towards that. So.
Well, anyway, I think I definitely caught some flack from Cody and Danielle. I think I called him Corey a minute ago. Sorry about that, Cody. But anyway, they were definitely disappointed that there weren't more.
Well, I know, and I do apologize, but we will hopefully make that happen soon.
So. Yeah, that's okay. I'm sure they're going to let it slide this time.
This one time, so.
I mean, I would be disappointed, too. It's the best podcast on the face of the earth, so why would you not want a shirt?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, Weldon thinks so. So who's your favorite bluegrass artist, Weldon?
You asked me this last time I was
did?
On. Yes.
What'd you say? Oh, Josh Williams?
Yeah, but who else? Of course you're going to say me.
He's not in the room, so. Because I can't remember what you said.
I said Dad, and I think I said J.D. Crowe.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right.
He's pretty big on Joel Lawson, too. Yeah. So. Well, that's cool. Old Lowell Dawson there.
Well, we had Mr. Justin Willie, a faithful listener of the podcast. That's the world famous, most popular podcast, as Weldon says. He got on our Facebook page and said, I have a request for Josh. I would love to hear his song, The Cave. I have always loved that song. Please and thank you. And Justin Willie sent that in. So
thank you, Justin.
Josh pulled the cobwebs and dust off of this old song, and he's going to do it for
you
us.
You know, he just left the M's off the name of that, off the end of his name there. He'd been my brother's name. My brother's name is Justin Williams.
Oh, so. Justin Willie Williams.
Justin Williams.
Williams.
Yeah, so. Anyway, yeah, this, I'm glad to know that your favorite song is The Cave, and that this is a very morbid song. You must be a morbid individual, but...
Well, at least you're not playing, Echo Mountain or nothing. So.
Well, it's a little bit.
It's actually probably darker than Echo Mountain.
It's a little darker, honestly. I mean, I hate that, you know, Echo Mountain, you shoot and kill the dog.
I know. But, I mean, I love that
You know,
song.
This destroys an entire.
entire country.
Yeah, an entire village.
An entire town.
Or, yeah. But anyway. We're giving it away, always keeping the factor open here.
Exactly.
So. I learned this song. Don Rigsby was the one that found this for me. It's an old Johnny Paycheck song. And put my glasses on here so I can actually see the lyrics, because I thank you, Tim, for typing these out for me, because I did not remember all of them.
That's the least I can do. I'm here to take care of you.
Well, appreciate it, man. Last night I had the strangest dream that I have ever dreamed. I was a boy again, just barely in my teens, wandering through the woods and hills that towered above our town. And in the rocks and brush, an entrance to a cave I found. And like most any young boy would, I crawled into the cave. And in the damp, dark darkness, then I slowly made my way. Tunnel after tunnel, going this old way and that. Until suddenly I knew I didn't know where I was at. I tried to find the way out, but it seemed to be in vain. The more I tried, the more confused and frightened I became. At last, in sheer exhaustion, I collapsed and fell asleep. Until the distant roaring sound of thunder wakened me. Thunder boomed, the earth it shook, I trembled in my fear. Surely this must be the worst storm in 1,000 years. And all the time the fury of the storm just seemed to grow, until suddenly it ended with a great earthquaking blow. I then began to crawl around, and what a stroke of luck. I saw a ball of tiny light, and so I followed up. And soon I crawled out of what I thought would be my grave. And what I saw, it made me wish I was back down in the cave. For there was not a blade of grass, a tree, or bush around. Not even one small bug crawling on the parched, burnt ground. And looking down the hill, I saw the shambles of a town where people used to live. before the bomb came down.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Man. Old paycheck.
I have never heard that song before.
Have you not?
Tonight. No, that's the first time I'd ever heard it.
You know, you should buy some of my albums.
Man, I don't need to buy them because I have them all on Apple Music. But
ouch.
I listen to them quite often, to be honest.
Well, thank
with you
for instead of paying $15 for a CD, you're paying a fraction of a penny for a download. I appreciate that. Thank
no
you.
No problem, man. No problem. I'm here to serve.
Yeah, I could tell.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, I'm just kidding. I've got that too, so I don't care.
Yeah.
But, folks, when you do go out and watch somebody perform live, please, please buy their album.
Please buy it.
Sometimes that's the difference on whether or not they can get home.
It's funny because I do listen to your music a lot and music like yours. When it, you know how a lot of these streaming platforms will offer suggestions, and I'll sometimes just let it go, and then and a lot of times it just plays one of your songs. So,
well, that's
I'm like
good.
Yeah, I mean, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
so,
appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well, cool. Well, when we come back, we're going to have a trivia question to win a free Paige Capo.
Yep, and I've got it.
And,
I've got the I got the question.
All right.
Got it ready to go. So, and we're going to have Weldon
guest.
Sing one for us.
That's
so.
Right. Josh's son Weldon is still here. We hadn't run him off yet. And so we're going to tune him up. When he was on with us several weeks ago, we made him sing a song. So he's going to sing another one. So
that's right. He's going to sing lead on this one, though.
Oh.
He sang lead on the chorus last time.
Yeah.
But he's doing the verses on this one.
All right. We're building him up. For long, we're going to have him playing guitar and singing. So
yeah, he can do it.
That's what we need.
Oh, for long, it'll end up, we'll both have to have mics because he'll be end up playing the guitar and I'll start doing the banjo with him.
He's got big hopes for himself, doesn't he?
There you go. We'll try it. Southern Legacy featuring Weldon Williams.
That's right.
We'll be right back.
For over 50 years, Puckett's Jewelry in Benton, Kentucky has been a trusted choice for fine jewelry that will last a lifetime and help you celebrate life's most precious moments. The new owners, Bart and Hannah Lewis, are excited to continue the Puckett's Jewelry legacy in Marshall County and are proud to support bluegrass music. Puckett's Jewelry on the square in Benton, Kentucky. Visit them online at puckettsjewelry.com.
Discover the hidden gems of Kentucky's Great River Road, winding through Ballard, Carlisle, Hickman, and Fulton counties along the mighty Mississippi River. From breathtaking river views to charming small towns, this scenic byway offers adventure at every turn. Explore rich history, savor local flavors, and enjoy outdoor activities like hiking, fishing, and wildlife watching. Kentucky's Great River Road, where the beauty of the Mississippi meets the heart of small town Kentucky. Come for the journey, stay for the experience. Plan your trip today at KYGRRO.com.
Hey, this is Josh Williams for Paige Capos. The Paige Capo is lightweight, durable, and quickly attaches and allows you to change frets with ease. With controlled tension capabilities, Paige Capo always stays in tune. But don't just take my word for it. Paige Capos is also used by folks like Vince Gill, Ron Block, Tim O'Brien, Cody Kilby, Tommy Emmanuel, and James Taylor. So don't trust just any capo. Use what the pros use. Listen to the Hometown Bluegrass Show podcast for your chance to win a Paige Capo on every episode. Do what I do and trust Paige Capos. Order online at PaigeCapo.com.
That's right. Check out PaigeCapo.com today.
Order online.
Go get you one or seven of them. One for each instrument. That's what Josh was using just a while ago when he played that song.
Sure enough.
That Paige Retro. And so whether you're using the Paige Pro, the Paige Retro, or the standard Paige Capo, it will make your guitar sound just like Josh Williams.
Yeah, that's right.
It's that simple.
That's all it takes.
Speaking of Paige Capos, it's now time to give one away for absolutely zero.
So what's the question, Josh?
Josh.
I don't like.
See, I always call you Josh.
Yeah, I don't like how you're saying that.
I have been to work with him and then say, Josh, I need you to do something or something like that. And yeah. I get the most, I will slap you across the face look.
It's weird when your kid calls you by your name. You know. So.
Yeah, it is. It's weird. Very weird.
Absolutely.
I didn't even know my daddy's name for a long time. Other than daddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then people started calling me. Say, you're Tony's boy, aren't you? I was like, well, yeah. Say, you look just like him. Hey,
before
little Tony.
Before we do that, I'll tell you a real funny story from this weekend. Just hush. I was sitting backstage talking to John Metter. We were just shooting the breeze and talking. And I said, are you staying the night or are you driving home? And is this going to be late? And he goes, oh, I got to drive home tonight. And I said, oh, you are? Wow. And he said, yeah, it's about 4.5 hours for me back to Tennessee. And I said, man, this is going to be like early tomorrow morning you get home. He said, yeah, well, I'm going over. I was invited to Tommy Emmanuel's house for a Friendsgiving. And I heard Tommy's name in that commercial. That's what made me think of it. And I said, oh, well, I think I would drive back to go to Tommy Emmanuel's house for Friendsgiving.
Yeah.
So, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Tommy is an amazing player. I have never got to meet Tommy.
Really?
I have not.
He seemed like a cool dude, man.
Everybody that I do know that does know him says he's just the nicest guy, and he seems like, and he's, gosh, he's such an amazing player.
Yeah.
He can play any style.
Yeah, I know it. It's crazy. I saw him on Wood Songs one time, He said, that guy, I forget the host guy's name on there, but you've been on there.
Oh, Michael Jonathan.
Yeah. And he said, so when did you realize you can make a living playing guitar? And he said, well, you can make music when you play down on this end of the fret, but you make money when you play up on this end of the fretboard. I thought that was hilarious.
Wise words spoken.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, oh, that's why I never make it up past like the fifth fret.
And I have no idea what kind of guitar that is that he plays, but that thing sounds amazing.
I know. It's crazy. It's sounds, like a little parlor guitar.
It's like a double or triple something or another. But yeah, it sounds huge. It sounds massive, you know?
Pretty cool. All right, sorry.
All right, so
back to the page.
Yes, back to our trivia question for
the let's give one away
for the Page Capo giveaway. So this question is actually going to go back to our good buddy Magic Mike Anglin, who plays in Southern Legacy. So we've talked about him a lot, and Mike and I always joke back and forth because of our height difference. You know, when I first met Mike, he was much taller than me. And
because you were 12,
I was about the same height as him at 12. I might have been a little bit younger than that. I think he was still playing around maybe with Gary Brewer when I first met him, but I don't know, I can't remember exactly. But I do remember the first time I ever got to really hang out with him, he was playing guitar, and I remember thinking, that guy is nailing every G run. Why can't I do that? I couldn't play a G run while I was playing rhythm to save my life. And he was just, bah, 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 doo, 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 you know, I mean, just rocking it. And anyway, that stood out to me. It still does. But anyway, so this is going to involve him. So the question for the free Page Capo is, what was the first professional band that Mike Anglin played in?
That's a good question.
That's a very good question.
There you go.
Yeah. So make sure that you guys are paying close attention whenever this thing does hit the air and
no searching it up on Google either.
I guess you can do that, but that's kind of unfair.
We'll never know, but
you can do it, but don't do it.
We'll stop. We'll launch this episode on Friday morning. We'll be out early Friday morning, so we'll be listening for it. And then when you hear this question, be the first to put on our Facebook post. I will post the link to the podcast. Be the first one to make the comment, and you will win a free Page Capo.
The correct comment, not just any comment.
That's right. We've stumped some people. Now, last week, I thought we were going to stump everybody with Andrea's first band she played in, but man, Derek Moore was on the ball. Like, he was like 3 minutes later, he knew it.
Well, I'm sure he did, because she told everybody. All he had to do was listen for an,
that's right.
Listen to it. But
yeah,
yeah,
but yeah, it was It was cool, so.
I didn't know that either, though. So, that was very cool.
Well, why don't you tune that old guitar up and get that Page Capo all situated, and you and Weldon going to do us a song.
Yep.
What you going to sing for us, Weldon?
We're actually going to do one of Dad's songs. I can't think of the name of it.
Well, it was. It's actually a really cool song, just simply because it kind of talks a little bit about the country around these parts here. Mm-hmm. The Kentucky State Penitentiary. Not that I'm saying that that's a good place to go visit or anything, but
penitentiary is a good place to go visit.
That does happen to be right here, close by, over in Lyon County, over in Eddyville, Kentucky. So it's a great big old castle. But the inside of it, I guarantee, is not as pretty as the outside of it. So,
nope.
But anywho, we're going to do this and let Weldon come up and sing it for you. This is written by a friend of mine, the late, great Pete Goble. And we'll have Weldon sing it for you now. You ready, buddy?
Yeah.
This is called You Can Keep Your 9-Pound Hammer.
I missed it.
No, you didn't.
Oh. There's a cabin in the mountains, oh, so many miles from here. They sit there waiting for me, my own dad and mother dear. They don't know I'm in this prison, living in a 6-foot square. I've worn these shoes of mine out walking, but I ain't getting anywhere. Take away these iron bars and take back your suit of gray. I won't need your 9-pound hammer if I ever get away. Well, the lights go out at 9 o'clock and then there's not a sound, except for Mike the prison guard as he makes his rounds. But someday it will be different, Lord, I hope it won't be long. He'll look into an empty cell and find that I am gone. Take away these iron bars and take back your suit of gray. I won't need your 9-pound hammer if I ever get away. Well, if you're ever down in Eddyville and you wanna call on me, it's the big house on the corner, my number's 283. Oh, I got 6 more years to stay here, and brother, I'll be gone. I'm going back to mom and dad and that little old cabin home, mountain home. Take away these iron bars and take back your suit of gray. I won't need your 9-pound hammer if I ever get away. I won't need your 9-pound hammer if I ever get away.
Right.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Hey, it happens, man. I do it all the time. So when that's the thing about it, man. When you get a little tripped up on the lyrics, you just keep it going.
That's right. Hey, Larry Cordell forgot lyrics to a song he wrote Saturday nights.
You know what? He sure did.
It happens to the best of everybody. So I've done it many times.
Yeah. I was getting it when we were practicing this before we actually started recording. I was getting every word, and I wasn't getting tripped up at all, and then we do it while we're recording, and it's like, what happened?
When the red light comes on, the lights, camera action.
That does change everything, honestly. And that's
it's good
that's
experience,
just,
though.
It is. It's called paying your dues,
mm-hmm.
and
absolutely.
Everybody's done it.
Yep.
And it's one thing to do it when nobody's really looking at you. It's another thing to do it when you're standing with 1,000 people looking at you, and then you think,
the Grand Ole Opry.
I've done it there, too. I've done it on the Grand Ole Opry. I've done it on stage many, many places. So, yeah.
There's been some times where I have heard you stutter on stage tripped up.
There's been times where I didn't even know how to finish the song, so we just stopped. That's the worst. I'm just like, I can't remember any more of it, you know. Mm-hmm. I filled in for Lonesome River Band back a couple of years ago, several times actually during the year. And anyway, one of the performances that we did, we were, what song was it? Flat Broken Lonesome. And man, I sing that song in my sleep. And just for whatever reason, I got right in the middle of the song and I couldn't think of a lyric to save my life. So, you know, I'm just sitting there thinking, what are the words? And I got Sammy looking over at me. Like, everybody's like, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? And I'm thinking, what are we going to do? You know, that's just part of it, man.
Well, yeah. But to your credit, you have a lot of songs in your head that you've memorized over the years.
I have a lot of songs in my head.
I'd like to make the kind of, maybe this is the last segment of it, but like, you know, I play in a little amateur band and we don't play near, obviously, as much. So, we have iPads. I have to remember the music. People who play, you know, week in, week out, day sometimes night in, night out. You know, I know the repetitiveness of singing those songs helps. But do you have any tips or methods on when you a new song comes out, or you know, and you got to learn it? How do you learn it? Do you just sing it over and over and over and over and over, or do you? Do you have any tips for
me? If there's a song that I need to learn quickly, I will write it out.
I won't type it.
I will sit down with pen and paper, and I will write the lyrics out.
Okay.
And they have to be legible. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a perfectionist as far as that kind of thing goes. So even if I'm writing in ink, I don't like doing pencil because, you know, I like to be bold. Mm-hmm. So I do it in ink, and then if I mess the spelling up on a word or if I had to do that, it's in the trash can, and I start over. And it has to be, you know, I want it to look like it's been typed, even though it's been handwritten. But I will do that as many times as needed until it's up here.
Gotcha.
So writing it out.
And seeing it on
and
paper.
And seeing it. Yeah. It's like making the connection of hearing it and then putting it down by hand on paper. I don't know why, but that just makes it stick in my head faster.
Now, as a professional musician, obviously, like, you got to play the chords, too. So, like, when it comes time for that, I guess you've just played it enough and hear it. I mean, for me, somebody who don't play as much, when I see it, I put the chords above it. And so, like, sometimes I can memorize songs by visualizing and memorize the chords, too, by, well, what chord is with this phrase or with this song, stuff like that. So
yeah, and anytime I do that, I always try, you know, like, especially if I'm trying to teach somebody else the song.
Right.
I will make sure that, you know, it's not, you put the chord above the word that it starts on.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Sometimes that makes sense and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a prepositional phrase at the beginning of a verse or something, sometimes it's one chord until you get to the main word that where the downbeat of the verse is, you know? So, but yeah, that helps me more than anything. Now, the shows that I did with the Bluegrass Album Band, I am not ashamed to admit this. I did not take any chances. So I did write every single lyric out like that. But also in a book, I had them all typed out. And I had them typed in like some fairly decent sized font so I could read it. But I did keep them right there in front of me. Because the first time that I did the album band show, which was February of 2013, and it was unfortunately the only one that Tony made that we did. But the very first song, which of all songs was Blue Ridge Cabin Home, and again, I can sing it in my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And we got up there, and I'm standing beside Tony. We had done rehearsals. We had done all this kind of stuff without Tony. And then when Tony got there, this was the moment where I realized what was happening. I'm standing beside these two guys, in between these two guys that I've known for years, that I've worked with for years, but I've never worked with them together. So I'm standing there, between J.D. Crow and Tony Rice. And Tony takes his solo, and he did struggle because, you know, he hadn't been playing by that point for at least a good 6 or 7 months.
This was late in his life.
Yeah, this was 2013, so he was, you know, he died in Christmas Day of 2020. Mm-hmm. But he didn't perform again, to my knowledge, after this show. And it had been months since he had done so prior to. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so in that moment, I'm having that realization, and it makes me emotional. And then I go to start singing again, and the words are gone. They're not there. Mm-hmm. And that was so horrible for me to have done that, you know, but I couldn't help it. And it became a real moment, you know. But yeah, it was, it happens, you know. Yeah.
Well, everybody has their own tricks, I'm sure.
But I carried every one of them lyrics after that on stage with me every performance.
Really?
Even on songs like that I knew mm-hmm. forward and backwards and upside down and daylight and dark, you know, but I still kept them all up there.
And honestly, you probably didn't even look at them, but just having them there might have been confidence.
It was more of a comfort than anything. More of a
security blanket.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
Yeah. Well, everybody has their own thing. I struggle with making eye contact because I try to look at people's right above their heads, so it almost looks like, but because if I start making eye contact, then my ADHD kicks in or whatever, and I start, my brain wanders and I forget the song.
Yeah.
So I try to stare right over the audience. That's just me, but
90%,
that's probably not the best way to do
90%
it.
90% of the time when I'm looking at the audience, I'm not looking at the audience.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I'm not even registering what I see out there. I'm in the song.
Yeah.
I'm in the moment, and my main priority during that time is to convey the message of that song and you know, convey the emotion of that song and make the people that are listening to it and watching it feel what the song is calling for. You know what I mean?
Right, absolutely.
So, you know, just like I can be, you know, looking at the audience and stuff, and half the time, you know, I'm just looking through them. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not even, there's no distinction on anything, you know. And of course, I'm looking around, but at the same time, half the time you've got the stage lights on you and they're bright and you can't see past the front row anyway.
Right.
You know, which was the case the other night at the Mountain Arts Center.
Yeah.
And I decided to not wear my glasses.
I noticed that.
It was my hat that I had on that night, it was my glasses and my hat were not jiving.
Did you have contacts or just nothing?
No.
Yeah.
I can't touch my eyeball, man.
I mean, I can't either. I have to wear glasses. I can't wear contacts, so can't do it.
But I've gotten to the point where if I've got like an eyelash or something in my eye and it's not like on my pupil itself and it's on the whites of my eye, I can roll my eye up enough where I can see it in my peripheral vision and I can like grab it off my eye. But other than that, I can't touch my
eye. Most of the time, I just squint my eyes shut until they start watering, and then it comes out. But,
exactly.
And then I'll tug at it until I get it.
That's all I can do.
But anyway. That's what I do.
Yeah, great tips. I mean, that's hopefully that'll help somebody. Seeing it on paper, writing it out, that's a good tip to do. And everybody does it differently. And some people might type it or just sing it a million times. But I do listen to them a lot over and over again, you know, in the truck going down the road. But
absolutely.
Anyway, but.
And I do have one more thing before we close.
Okay.
I do want to say, and I'm not going to say any names here, but a gentleman came to the show and I got to meet with him. He's from Louisville and told me that he listened to our podcast here. And back about a year ago when we did one where I told my story, you know, where I had dealt with my demons and stuff, and I am in recovery, and I'm very proud to admit that, because I'm without all of the stuff that I've been through, I wouldn't be the man that I am today. And I'm not, you know, I'm still a work in progress, and I always will be. And I try to wake up each day to trying to be a better man than I was the day before. But there was a young man that came that heard that episode, and his brothers have struggled, and he wanted me to know that because he did hear that and was able to play that episode for both of them, that they are today sober, And that really touched me. That meant a lot. Yeah. So
that's awesome. Yeah. He drove all the way a long way just to come meet you personally. So
that's right.
I can tell you that story. So
and the beauty of recovery is that everybody has anonymity. So I'm definitely not going to say anybody's name or anything like that. It's not my place. But it is good to know that you help people, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to get to do that. And had I not went through the things that I went through in my past, I wouldn't have been able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and this dude that's sitting beside me doesn't know this, but he was a big reason for that because I was in treatment when we found out that he was on the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd been there about 2 weeks and found out that he was on the way, and that showed me that, hey, God's not done with you, buddy.
Gave you a reason to work hard.
Yeah. Now, he can't do that. You know, he can't keep me sober, but he gives me a reason to put my sobriety first.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what an example that, as a father, that you can do, and what greater gift can you give your own son.
So. I had an old feller that was working at the treatment center told me, he said, anything you put before your recovery, you stand to lose.
Mm-hmm.
If you put your family before your recovery, you lose them. You put your job before it, you lose it. You know, all of that stuff. And they don't come before my recovery,
mm-hmm.
but they do give me a reason to stay in recovery.
Absolutely. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Well, we're proud you're clean now and proud that we get to do this podcast together. So.
Man, me too.
Well, thanks so much for listening to the Hometown Bluegrass Show. You can find us on every major podcast platform like Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and on timbatz.com. If you like this podcast, do us a favor, share it with everybody you know. And also thanks to our great sponsors like Paige Capos and Banjo Ben Clark and AllenMusicShop.com, the Lake House Inn, Puckett's Fine Jewelry, Custom Automotive, and the Great River Road.
The Great River Road.
That's right. So finally, if you do like this podcast, please take a moment to leave us a review and a 5-star rating so that more people can discover bluegrass music. We are very passionate about bluegrass music, and we work hard to preserve and promote this great music that we love. Thanks again for listening. Thanks, Weldon Williams, for being here.
Yeah, buddy. Thanks for being with us.
I'm glad that I was able to be here tonight.
Me too.
I'm glad
you got
too.
Time to breathe. You got time for me.
That's right, Briscoe.
This has been a Bats Creative Audio production.